WNST, Taos in Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road, all presented by the Maryland Lottery. I have my Instant Scratch-Offs Old School 50th Anniversary. They are old school. And our friends at Window Nation as well, 866-90-NATION. Do what I do. Take advantage of the buy two, get two free, and 2 years, 0% financing. That's actually a better deal than what I got. This guy and I have been getting together for, I don't know, I've been on the air 31 years, probably 27 or 28 of them, ever since the Baltimore Ravens were the Cleveland Browns. I was hoping to get my Warren Moon jersey that I bought on eBay, my white throwback number one that's going to fit me. I was hoping to wear that, but the mail didn't come today. Peter King is here. He of Football Morning in America and all things Sunday Night Football in America and all things Lamar Jackson over America. You know, Peter, there's other stories. I mean, Carolina's dealing into the one and, you know, DJ Moore and the other teams. Sure, they're 31. That's your job to worry about the other 31 teams. What's happening with Lamar? It's like the biggest story ever, man.
You know, I think this is a pretty simple case. No, it isn't a simple case. I think it's a simple case mostly of the fact that there is a significant disagreement on value, and a significant disagreement on whether a team should have some protection when a player who's been hurt a lot comes up for the biggest contract in franchise history. Now, I'm sure that it's easy for everybody to make this a, you know, Lamar versus DaCosta. Okay. You know, Lamar Jackson, the quarterback, Eric DaCosta, the general manager. I mean, my feeling about that is I would be shocked if the owner of this franchise, if DaCosta's godfather, Ozzie Newsome, you know, Steve Bisciotti, obviously the owner. And if everybody thinks that it's the best idea to not guarantee, not fully guarantee a 4 or 5 year contract at a huge rate of pay for Lamar Jackson. In other words, I don't think there's a lot of disagreement up top in the Baltimore regime. Now, I don't know that, but I'm just guessing that my feeling, very simply, is that this is something that the Ravens just believe that is not a smart thing to do. And to fully guarantee a long-term contract with a guy who has missed 34% of the snaps in the last 2 years, it's not anything particularly controversial. And yet, I think most people out both in the media and I'm sure in the public are saying it's nonsense, pay the man, it's a cost to do in business, everybody's got to take some risk. I don't buy it. I don't see it. I don't think it's particularly smart to give a guy who's been hurt a lot a fully guaranteed contract over 4 or 5 years.
Peter, we got people here selling Pay Lamar ice cream and whatnot. They're, by the way, they're sold out, even though there's no deal yet. The no agent part of this.
It's big. It's big. It's big.
Yeah, and I don't know that Joe Sixpack understands why or could understand why. I've tried to gain clarity by having Lee Steinberg on, by having Chad Wiesling on, by trying to bring people on. You're at the top of the top of the reporter food chain and driving around with Super Bowl coaches and like all this all these years. This is so unprecedented because I think the Ravens brass, there's no proper way to handle this. And now that he's about to walk to the market to some degree, how does he get on the phone with Arthur Blank or Stephen Ross or the Glazer boys to make a deal when there's no intermediaries, there's no lawyers, there's no front man, there's no way to keep it quiet. There's no way to get proper bidding as well as just getting value on him. And he cost himself $20 million by showing up to work last year, because he never should have played for $23 million last year, right, and gotten hurt. And they've now tagged him at $32, $33 million. It's He has no endorsement deals. This is a real cautionary tale about, like, if his mother loved him, his mother would hire an agent for him, Peter.
I mean, I don't really understand why in the business of football, mega contracts, why you don't have somebody who's a veteran at doing this, you know, to help you. Because to think that that veteran of doing business can't get you 3% more than what you've been getting. I mean, look, here's the fact about the Lamar situation over the last few years. I'll be off a little bit on this, Nestor, but in the last 2 years, I think, you know, Lamar has made about $26 or $27 million total. Now, an agent would basically say to a team, we're not going to let, or I'm not going to let this quarterback play for basically, you know, after he wins the MVP, we're not going to let this quarterback play for 2 years for an average of $13 million. We have to start the ball rolling on making sure that he starts to get paid. And the bottom line in this is very, very simple, that if he had had an agent all this time, we wouldn't be talking about this right now, because he would have already been paid once and he'd be on the way to getting paid a second time. So that is, I think, the part of this that it's hard for people to comprehend. Lamar should have already gotten a piece of the pie already, instead of playing so long on his rookie contract and on the fifth year option. So that's one thing. I think the second thing that's really interesting to me anyway, is that, okay, we're all just at the scouting combine a week or so ago. And it's at the scouting combine where every agent in the world is, and they're all doing, having sidebar discussions and dinner and six beers with general managers, coaches, team presidents. And what are they talking about? They're talking about their clients going to play for their teams. Okay. Lamar has nobody to help him with this. He has nobody to say, okay, Terry Fontenot in Atlanta, all right, we need to just, like, go talk to Terry Fontenot. We've heard that Atlanta doesn't want a quarterback, but you need somebody to represent your best interests. And at the scouting combine, have a 2-hour dinner off the record with Terry Fontenot. That's what you, this is how business is done in the NFL. You don't sit back in South Florida and wait for someone somehow to find your telephone number, then to call you starting this week, to call you and say, I would like to set up a meeting and come down and talk to you and negotiate a contract with you. It's awkward. It's just not the way business is done. I'm not saying it can't be done. It might actually work with some team. All I'm saying is that what Lamar Jackson is trying to do, I've just never heard of it being done that way ever in the NFL. And he's already missed out on a lot of money. Already. He's missed out on a lot of money. And I would think that that would kind of sink in and he would say, okay, look, this hasn't really gone great. I really should get an agent who should go and talk to people behind the scenes for me. And just, I don't know. Look, I like Lamar. I really like Lamar. He's a nice guy, friendly guy. My dealings with him have been utterly fantastic. He's extremely respectful, nice person. I don't know why he got this in his head, but man, it's cost him a lot of money so far, and it might cost him more now.
Peter King is here. You can find him out at NBC and anywhere the NFL is dealt. The real Peter King. Used to have all these underscores, and this is Peter underscore King now. Very easy to find him out on Twitter. The NFLPA's role in this, and I've referred to this from the beginning as the original sin, right? Like, I saw Bisciotti all miffed last year down at the Breakers before they threw me out. I saw the whole Haslam-Watson fiasco with these four teams and how it went with Matt Ryan and others through all of this. But at the end, suppressing salaries is the original sin of all of this. It's what all the owners seek to do is keep the salaries as low as they can, keep guaranteed money low as they can, keep all of that. And Bisciotti was particularly miffed at that one of his partners would do this. And then I would think others would get in line. Where are you on the NFLPA? Because it felt like they're pretty active right up until the point where he has been at least devalued for the time being. If he walks out of this with $220 million from God bless the Raiders and they get a loan or however it happens here, or the Atlanta Falcons are just lying in the weeds, or Dan Snyder's going to deliver a black rose to the league, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea how this is going to go, but it feels like the owners don't want to be guaranteed. They're not stepping up on Deshaun Watson. It's going to be below that or else.
Well, obviously the owners don't want to guarantee this incredible amount of money, because if, you know, and let's talk about Joe, particularly about Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. I mean, if you think about it really, Nestor, you know, those are two guys who justifiably, they haven't missed a game in the last 2 years because of injury. Burrow missed one this year, coach's decision. He didn't play in the last game of the season, but otherwise these guys both play every week and have played every week. But their owners don't want to do a fully guaranteed contract and will fight it to high heaven. I don't know whether they'll end up doing it or not. And for people who don't really understand why, it isn't just, I mean, because look, to me, it's not that big a deal if Herbert's contract is guaranteed, or if Burrow's contract is guaranteed, or if even Jalen Hurts's contract is guaranteed, because they don't have a major injury history. Hurts has a little, but not much. And so it really, those guys are going to be quarterbacking their teams well into the future. It isn't just the guarantee and all that. What it is, it's putting, when you sign a guy, if whoever signs one of those quarterbacks for, let's just say, guaranteed $240 million, you know, next spring, they're going to have to put about $175, $180 million in cash in an escrow account controlled by the NFL. Okay. And that escrow account guarantees that that money will be paid regardless of what financial misfortune plagues the owner who signs the player to it. That's a lot of money for Mike Brown. That's a lot of money for the Spanos family, who own Dean Spanos, who owns the Chargers. And I guess my overriding point about that is that it's not just the fact that they don't want to guarantee contracts. It's the fact that there's this archaic, dumb rule that the NFL has in place to further dissuade teams from guaranteeing contracts for the long term. Because if they do, they know that they have to put the money up now, even though they're not paying it until 27 or 28. So that's another part of this that is a reason why teams don't want to guarantee contracts.
Peter, you've been doing this so long, I think people in football were naturally honest with you in the 80s and certainly into me into the 90s. I felt like if I had a source, I had somebody in the league, and I had a lot of people in the league, as you well know. I can go back and I think about, I can combine Brian Billig, Marvin Lewis, David Moda, any of those people, and think about how many times they ever lied to me 30 years later, and it's almost zero in every case. And then I think about the game now of agents, players, who do you like, who don't you like, what the truth is. This is what I know about Lamar. If you know, back in the day, you would call me once in a while and say, what do you know about this? I know last spring how miffed the head coach was that he wasn't there for OTAs. I know that personally. So it was before I got thrown out. And then I think about the line that happened after that, where it felt like he was making business decisions in the game. It felt like by the time he got injured, there was some hard feelings. He had held a sign up on the road, pay me. He had pay me on the front of his Twitter. He doesn't have an agent, so there's no softening this. He gets injured. The team tells Rich Eisen and everybody, he's coming back, he's coming back. They go on a national broadcast for 4 hours, 5 hours of the pregame show saying he'll be back for Christmas. He never appears again. Then he puts out his own injury report from the outside. And I've been on the outside for the first time in 27 years. I look at this and say, I don't know that there's going to be a kumbaya, and I don't know that the Ravens aren't hoping somebody just doesn't come and make an overwhelming offer and they get picks. I'm wondering how upset the Ravens will really be if they lose Lamar, even if they have to play a year with whatever Tyler Heinicke it would be.
I think that's a really, really interesting point. I think it's a fascinating point. I wonder exactly the same thing, because if you're not going to be all in, and if you're not going to come to the offseason program, why are the Green Bay Packers basically putting a 3,000-mile green carpet out the door for Aaron Rodgers to walk on and leave this team? Why are they doing that? It's because everything with Aaron Rodgers is an effort. Everything is a chore. Everything is a little bit of a fight and all that. And he doesn't come to all the offseason stuff. Look, if you're the quarterback of an NFL team, I'll tell you a little story. So last season, I go cover the Jaguars and the Eagles. Okay. And at the time, the Jaguars were an interesting team and the Eagles were hot. So I just went to the game. Eagles win the game. And afterwards, I spent time with both Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. And Nick Sirianni told me that he said, hey, you know, this quarterback, he's like nobody I've met in this business. He, this week, and I mean, keep in mind, this is for the Jacksonville Jaguars. This week, it's 9 o'clock on Tuesday night. And I got to say, what the hell are you doing here? Come on, go home. And for people who don't quite understand why somebody would be telling your quarterback to go home instead of working and burning the midnight oil and scouting this team he's going to play in 5 days, Tuesday is the player's day off. So he's not supposed to be working. So what he did, he came in early, got a workout in, was there the entire day, working with the coaches on the game plan, finding out what they were going to do, all this. And he's still there at 9 o'clock at night, and the day is going to start at 7:30 the next morning. Coach says, get the hell out of here. That is what coaches want in their quarterbacks. I have no idea what Lamar's, you know, work ethic is in the, you know, during the week and the offseason, anything like that. But if you were going to start to not participate in the offseason program as the starting quarterback of the team, and I don't know whether Lamar would be doing it going forward or not, but I can tell you in 2008, that's the reason why the Green Bay Packers said to Brett Favre, Hooper, get off the pod here. You got to come to the offseason program or we got to move on. He retired.
Well, if you're a leader, you lead. Leaders lead. Yeah, you can't lead by being there, period.
That is, and so now, you know, if Jordan Love is going to be there starting whatever day it is, April 12th or whatever day that the offseason program can officially start and players can be in there, they know that whatever day that is, at 7:30 in the morning, Jordan Love will be sitting there in his quarterback coach's office. That is the point. If you're going to be in, as you say, you got to be in. And if you're not, if you're going to be unhappy and all that stuff, then, you know, we might have to look elsewhere.
As Mike Tomlin once said, and my favorite quote of all time, we want volunteers, not hostages. Peter King is here. He has volunteered to come on this year's program, as he's done for many, many years. Just last thing, spin the wheel on this. What happens here? It only takes one, but this is complicated for the money reasons that you brought out as to whether Mark Davis could come up with this money, New Orleans out, Carolina out. All of a sudden, we start to see the crystal ball a little bit more clearly that teams are out on Lamar. Who's in? What are the possibilities here, Peter?
Well, you know, the Raiders are going to go with Jimmy Garoppolo, as we've been speaking. You know, as we are recording this, obviously free agency is in progress. Garoppolo now, and look, Josh McDaniels was not going to do Lamar Jackson. He was not going to do Aaron Rodgers. But all that, be that as it may, what happens to Lamar Jackson? I think it is a great question. I still think that if Aaron Rodgers somehow spurns the Jets, even though Joe Douglas has his roots in the Ravens organization, I still think that the owner of the Jets, Woody Johnson, is going to tell Joe Douglas, you better go get Lamar Jackson. But again, number one on their list right now is Aaron Rodgers. So we'll see what happens there. I've tried to think about this time and time and time and time again, and I don't know what the answer is. Could it be somebody absolutely upsetting the apple cart and some team saying, okay, we'll do it? Could it be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who don't have an answer at quarterback? I don't know the answer to that. Could it be eventually Atlanta, you know, softening and saying, okay, we'll do it? Maybe. Could it be Washington in the middle of this weird ownership pas de deux where they're going to have a new owner in a few months? I mean, all of these things, it's highly, highly, I can't find anybody right now. But if Lamar Jackson refuses to sign the tender, refuses to sign the one-year deal, then I think we're going to find out that the Ravens are basically they're going to have to make alternative plans. I doubt it will be totally with Tyler Huntley, but, you know, we'll see.
Peter, you slid in the Washington football team's going to have new ownership like that. You're convinced of that. Oh, man, everybody in D.C.
Well, I'm not convinced of it. You know, Nestor, I'm not convinced of it, but I don't see how Daniel Snyder can continue to own this team. He's a pariah. Roger Goodell has done him about 15 solids in not booting him out on the sidewalk already. I mean, isn't it interesting that it's been now 13 months since Mary Jo White has been doing a report? Come on, come on. Let's be real about this. 13 months to do not a simple report. These reports don't take 13 months. Stop it. You know, these reports should have been done already. So why are they not done? You know, everybody in the NFL thinks that Roger Goodell is giving Daniel Snyder all the time he needs to sell this team so they don't have to publicly shame him and embarrass him, period. Maybe that's true, maybe it isn't true. But I can tell you that's what people around the NFL think and talk about. So I can't imagine that Daniel Snyder, on July 1st, makes an announcement, says, well, not selling the team. You can give me whatever discipline you want, but I'm not selling. And then I think all heck will break loose. And that's why I think that this team is going to be sold here in the next few months.
Well, we do something with Lamar and all heck breaks loose. Maybe we'll get you in here for Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman and the Grayson Rodriguez gun show down at Camden Yards, Peter.
I hope so, man. I love Camden Yards. It's such a nice, neat little train trip to come down and to see the Orioles. And, I'm really glad that they're not in the basement anymore. I think that the team on the other end of the of the Amtrak, you know, from Washington to Boston. I think the team on the other end might be in the basement this year. I think it could be a lean year for the Sox, but we'll see.
Well, we can only hope. Did you feel a little bit of the pain? Either way, hey, man, Springsteen playing Camden Yards. Come on down. I got beer for you. We'll relive some of our glory.
Is Springsteen actually playing Camden Yards?
He is. Absolutely. The weekend the football season opens, he's playing Camden Yards. September 9th, I believe it is.
Wow.
Yeah, that's come on
tremendous.
Down.
That's tremendous.
Hey, man, got a wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack. I got Peter King memories here. I miss you, Peter. It's great having you on. I always love reading your column. We'll be following you. And this saga with Lamar, it never ends, man. Appreciate you.
All right, Nestor, you take care, okay?
Make sure you're watching Peter King out on All Things NBC, following his work out on Twitter. No one does it better in the football morning in America now. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, we never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.